Well, I don't do this very often, but in your bulletin, all the scriptures that you see don't apply. Okay? This week was kind of, and I'm just going to be honest, it was an awful emotional roller coaster. Mary Scheifele, dear beloved saint that I love dearly, and to do a funeral for somebody like that, it's a celebration, yes, but I already missed the smile, I already missed the prayers, because she was a prayer warrior praying for our church and praying for her family, and I know I got to see her Bible, and my name was like at the top of the list, and then some people came in and just shared some of the burdens that they were going through, and then I had a friend, and I told you about him, that I met him on ice fishing, because God uses that as my ministry field for when I go fishing, and his name was Lance, if you remember him. He called me this last week on Thursday, I think it was, and just told me that he found out his wife was cheating on him on Christmas Eve. And so I have this gamut of emotions that I'm feeling, and I also was preparing for this message, and I'm like going, this isn't the right message. I've said that we want to follow the Holy Spirit, right? So I'm trying to follow the Holy Spirit right now and go, okay, this is what you want to accomplish in us. And so as I compete with the smell of foods, hopefully you can keep your focus and you can really hear what God's Spirit is trying to tell us this morning. Last week we left off in awe of God. Marveling at that we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, something that is unfathomable to us, something that we can't completely understand. It says in the Bible that His ways are beyond us, His mysteries are beyond us. I mean, we don't know His limits. And I said, instead of us trying to figure out how this all works, that we would just surrender in awe and just go, a God that is so other than us, a God that is righteous and holy, that has created everything, has invited us to take part in this holy communion, the Trinity, because He's crazy about us, because He wants a relationship with us. He wants intimacy with us. And that alone, instead of trying to figure it out and getting frustrated, that we just step back and just are in awe of it and just praise and worship. And as we praise and worship this God, it's a response from the heart, isn't it? And then I said, since we're in awe of this God and who He is, and He is something that we can't fully explain, but we know in faith that He is who He says He is, and He's so big that we worship Him, but we respond with worship. But then there's something else that has to happen, is our lives have to be a response to Him because of what He's done. He did something amazing. He sent His Son, who is fully God, who is ruling over the universe, to come into this world and die an excruciating death and to be plastered to a cross and to die for us, so that way you and I could have a relationship with God. So that way you and I can have the forgiveness of sin, and we have hope, we have joy, we have peace. And our response has to be different. Our response has to be, God, will you take my life? Will you transform it and use it and make it into something that is unique? And we said, one of the things that we see in Scripture is that if we're surrendered to the Holy Spirit that is inside of us, that you have the fruit of the Spirit. And this fruit, we kind of listed them, was love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we're kind of left going, God, make this true of me. Do this inside of me. Because I don't want to live the old life, because that old life is dead. When Christ died and you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have been risen to a new life. Spiritually, you came alive to God. You've been born again into a life that does not have to be defined by sin. It's a life that is defined by love, joy, peace, and patience. And it's defined by that. And we're going, God, please, I'm going to surrender. This is what it is. It's a response of surrender. I'm surrendering every area of my life to you constantly. Paul ended the scripture with this verse, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. I mean, this is a daily, moment by moment surrendering of our heart, surrendering of our will, not my will, but your will be done. God, I want this to be true of you. In my family, in my relationship with my wife, when she irritates me and makes me mad, she never does it, but when she does, God, may my response be love. Not words of anger, not words that are not self-controlled, but my response in every situation with my husband, when he does that thing that irritates me, God, give me peace. Give me patience. With my children, God, instead of us battling all the time and having the strained relationships, God, would you just give me the ability to be this, a person that's loving and kind and gentle? I mean, this should be the craving of our heart, that every day, every moment, when you walk out of here, it's not just Sunday, it's every moment you're walking into Myers, that you're going, God, when that person hits me with their cart, that I don't turn around and bark at them, but I smile at them and say, no problem, how are you today? It's a totally different attitude. It's life by the Spirit, step by step. Jesus said that the Spirit of God is the one that we're supposed to be following while we're here on earth. A lot of us are trying to find Jesus who's sat down on the throne. He's there pleading on our behalf. We're trying to follow him that's on the throne. Yes, we're supposed to keep our eyes on him, but he said he's going to send another advocate that is exactly like him. And we're to follow that Spirit step by step every day. And so that's why we're missing the Holy Spirit. Because our eyes aren't focused on the Holy Spirit. We're not living step by step with a heart just craving and going, God, make this true of me. I want to be other than this world. I want to be other than I am. Because when I look at myself, boy, there's times where I'm not very patient. There's times where I am not self-controlled. God, do this in me. And it's beautiful when he does it. Because that's the greatest miracle, when he comes into a life and he starts to transform them and he begins to change them. But I got to address this one thing. I've heard every Sunday so far from somebody, was first or second service, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit. I think I have a little bit of the Holy Spirit. Okay, can I take all the filters off? Wrong. That is not scriptural. That is not what Jesus said. Jesus said he's sending an advocate who's going to come in and he's going to take up residence in you and live in you, and that is the Holy Spirit, who is fully God. And you have all of him. Not just a little bit. Not just a maybe. You have the Holy Spirit of God if you are in Christ. And you're like going, well, I just don't feel it. Here's the problem. You're putting God in a box. Or you're putting barriers on God. You're going, God, you can move from here to here. I went to all these other churches and this is what I've been taught. And boy, this is the only place that you can operate. And God's like going, wrong. I operate all over the place. There are no barriers on me. There are no walls. There's no container that can hold me. I'm moving and I'm working, and you got to go where I am. And so some of us need to tear those barriers and saying, God, you can do this or that. We got to remove those. And some of us just got to understand. When Scripture, I'm going to go all the way back to when we first started in Acts chapter 2, verses 38. You have been given, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, and you've repented of your sins, you have been given the Holy Spirit. The full measure. And he says this. He says, repent. This is what Peter says. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I like the NLT a little bit different. Peter says, each of you must repent of your sins. A response to what Christ has done on the cross must be repentance. And repentance is turning away. It's putting the sin to death, crucifying the old you, if you will, putting it to death. Repenting is going in the opposite direction. And I love what it says next in the NLT. It says, and turn to God. I once was going this way, my direction. I'm repenting. Now I'm moving towards God. I'm going in His directions. That's repentance. And then he says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And then what? You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not you might. Not you're going to get a little bitty portion. But you are having the full power and authority of the Godhead living in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus even said it this way. Once the Holy Spirit takes up residence, Him and the Father come in and live and dine with us. I mean, that's mind-blowing. That it's not just me up here, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that are living inside of me. So you've received the complete power of the Holy Spirit once you've repented and accepted Christ as your Savior. And you have to respond to that, though. That's the problem. We're not responding to the Holy Spirit. We have too many barriers up. We have too many things that we think that God can and cannot do. And Jesus said that we're going to have the full Godhead living in us. So when I'm telling you that we have to respond, we do have to respond with lives. Now, here's the thing in church sometimes. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Peter. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. In church, quite often, we either have this thing where people say that the Holy Spirit comes in and He does everything. Yes and no. He comes in and provides the power to do everything, but you and I have to make an effort. You and I have to have the desire of our heart completely wrapped around wanting to be led by the Holy Spirit, and you want to have a life that is modeled like Christ. It's a desire, and you have to make an effort. It's not, come fill me. It's come and fill me, and man, I'm amazed at what you've done. I am so overwhelmed. I'm so beyond myself. I want to move towards you. I want to do everything that I can to live and respond to you. And what's amazing is Peter writes to this, and in the church too, what we also do sometimes is we elevate pastors or speakers. And I've had people say this to me in this series, Kelly, it's easy for you to connect with the Holy Spirit. Really? What's that even mean? You have a faith that is just like my faith. We are no different in our faith. And this is what Peter says. Peter is just incredible words. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. But I'm going to read this out of the NASB because I think it's a little bit better. Simon Peter, it says, a bondservant. Simon says he's a slave. He's a slave to the truths of the gospel. He's a slave to the Holy Spirit that is living inside of him. And he's not regretful. This is an important thing. This is something that he is tied to. He cannot be separated from. And he's proud of it. I mean, this is in his title. It's Peter, bondservant, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. One version says it this way, that we have a faith of equal standing. I love that. Because we have a faith of equal standing. You have been given the full measure of the Spirit of God, and you can have an intimacy with God and walk with God just like I can, just like Peter would be saying. Because you and I would be, if we saw Peter, we'd be like, oh, Peter, you're so amazing. No. Peter's going, we have the same faith. It's equal. You've been given the same things that I have been given. You have the same standing with God because of Jesus Christ. And he's like, stop putting other people first. Stop looking at other speakers as they're more righteous than you, or they're more holy, or they got more of the Holy Spirit than you. Stop doing that. Yes, we have different levels of intellect. Yes, we have different ways that we kind of interact with God. But we have the same faith that's equal. You have the same portion of the Holy Spirit that has been poured in you as Peter and as any speaker that you can think of. So first of all, we just got to accept the fact that the Spirit of God, the full Spirit, the full power is living inside you. And as we start to accept that and we start to surrender to that, our lives are just a response. We desire something to be different. We want it to be different. And then he goes on, he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And I like that. He says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. You and I can have an abundance of it. How? Through a relationship in Jesus Christ. He says, through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. God's divine power, the Holy Spirit, has been given to every one of us. And His divine power that has been poured into you, that has been given to you as a gift, has given you the power and the ability to live this life to the fullest, a life that you can only imagine, and it's given you the power to live a godly life. That's a response, isn't it? But again, here we're going, I like that, I want that, but wait a minute, I just want to sit here and do nothing. Just Spirit pour into me, pour into me, pour into me, pour into me, and I just sit here. That is not how it works. When you realize what God has done, you realize that He has filled you with the full power of the Spirit to live life and to live a life of godliness, we should be going, whoa, that is amazing what God has done. He wants that for us. And it says, through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory, and one version says, or His own excellence, He has called us to something. Not a mediocre life, not a life where we just feel like we've had a little bit of the Spirit, but He's called us to live an excellent life for Him, where we're filled completely with the power of the Spirit and we're responding. And he goes, this is life-changing. This is unique. This is different. This is other than this world. And Peter keeps going on and he keeps pushing. And I just love his words in verse 4. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promise so that through them we may participate, or what I like, another version says, be partakers in the divine nature. What? Through that power that He has given us, we can live life to the fullest here, and we can have life to participate in the divine nature. That's what we're called to. We had an old life that was defined by sin, is defined by worldly things. You were invited to rise up in the Holy Spirit to a new life that is brand new, that is alive to God, and it's to be different. By that power in us, we partake in the divine, meaning that Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we dine with them. We walk with them. We engage with them. We have intimacy with them. We didn't have that ability before what Christ did on the cross. And we should just kind of marvel at that we're partakers in the divine nature. Meaning that I don't have to live with sin holding me down anymore. I don't have to be entangled in it anymore. I can be free from it because of the power that has been placed inside of me. But it's the Holy Spirit's not just going to go, boom, you're free. He does that once in a while. I've seen it. But what happens is, as He moves into somebody's life, you have to have a desire to want it. The question is not, did you receive the Holy Spirit? The question is not, did I get a little bit of the Holy Spirit? The question is, do you want the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your life and lead you step by step? And as he leads you step by step, you partake in the divine nature. You become different. You become more like Christ. And Paul's like kind of moving us and pushing us, going, remember, God has done something so awesome. He has given you a faith. He has called you into something that is beyond you. And he's given you the power to walk in it. He's given you the power to overcome life. He's given you the power to be godly. I mean, could you imagine what that would look like? If we really surrendered to the Holy Spirit to the point where we're going, oh, yes, may this be true of me. And then, you know, I was thinking as I was sitting, and this is what kind of got me thinking about this message, is I was watching this thing on the Vikings. Not the football team. I hate to say it. Not a fan. But anyways, you have the Vikings where they kind of move down along the kind of the coast, and they eventually kind of came to North America. And what they're finding out is that Christopher Columbus, bad news to historians, was not the first one in North America. Vikings probably were, they say. And they're kind of unearthing all these things, and I heard it called Newfoundland. And I'm not sure if it's Newfoundland or Newfoundland, whatever that place is, in Canada. They unearthed this boat, and this boat was filled with all these skeletons. And they said there's 60 to 100 people that were laying in there, and they were kind of, some of them were this stacked this way, some of them were stacked that way so that they could fit more people in the boat, and they had shields and they had swords kind of laid with them. And I started to think, man, could you imagine seeing something, a miracle that we see in the Old Testament? Could you imagine these scary bones coming alive? Can you imagine Albert? That's my friend. He's already got a man bun started, by the way. I don't know how he's got that. Could you imagine seeing this come to life? And I started to think about the miracles of the Old Testament. I started to think, oh God, if I could just see that, I could really engage with your spirit more. If I could just see somebody in that fiery furnace. I don't want to go in there, but I just want to see him. Or, I mean, if I could see Jesus. You know, this is what we say a lot. If I could see Jesus and just walk with him, I'd be different. If I could just see him walk on the water or raise the person from the dead, oh, my faith would just explode. And all of a sudden I started going, you know what? We have a wrong understanding of the Holy Spirit. The people in the Old Testament were looking forward to the Holy Spirit coming and taking up residence in us. The story in Ezekiel is just an amazing story, where God is telling them what is going to happen in the future. The people in the Old Testament were looking forward to the future coming. The people in the Old Testament, they understood what the Holy of Holies was. That's the place where the Spirit of God dwelled. And if you went in there, you would get zapped. You would die. You had any sin in you? I mean, if one of the officials would walk into there, one of the leaders of Israel, and they did it, and they would just go bang, dead. Priest walks in there, dead if he's got sin. That's why they put a rope on him. They pull him back. He died. They're like going, that power, that kind of power, is going to be placed inside of us. We should be rejoicing. We should be going, whoa, we have the Spirit of the living God in me, and he is doing the greatest miracle right now. He is giving you life, and he is turning you into a godly person. And in Ezekiel, it says in 36:26, as Ezekiel is kind of prophesizing, and he's saying what God is going to do in the future. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. I mean, Ezekiel is like prophesying what God is going to do through Christ. After Christ is risen from the dead and he ascends and he sets at the right hand of the Father, he said he's going to ask his Father to send an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to come and take up residence in us. This is a prophecy about this, that God's going to reach in, he's going to take our heart of stone, and he's going to make it a heart of flesh, and then he's going to put his spirit inside of us. I mean, these people were like going, that's amazing. We long for that day, because that spirit in the Holy of Holies, he is powerful. And that power is in you and me, in Christ. Then Ezekiel prophesies in chapter 37, verse 7. And so I prophesied. In other words, God was telling him to say these things. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling, a sound, and bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. I mean, just imagine this moment. He's in a valley, and there's bones just like all over the place. I mean, everywhere you can imagine, there's bones. And he begins to speak, and all of a sudden, Albert rises up. I mean, just imagine this. I mean, just focus on that with me. Just really imagine all of a sudden tendons being put on. Okay, ready? It didn't happen. I was hoping it would happen. Now make sure, Liz, tell me if he starts to move, okay? All right. God is going, I'm doing a new thing. I'm raising this person that was dead to life, and I'm putting new flesh, I'm putting tendons on them, and all of a sudden there's a heart that's inside there, but they still don't have life. They're still dead. And then look what it says a little bit later as he's prophesying in verse 9. He says, then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. Do you know what the breath is? The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. Breathing breath into this thing that was dead, which is you and I. We were dead, and the Holy Spirit came inside of us, and he breathed life to us and gave us life. I mean, just imagine it for a minute. All of a sudden, this thing gets flashed, and it grows, maybe it's still only going to be a foot and a half tall. I don't know. But all of a sudden, it starts dancing around on the stage, and it's fully clothed, and it starts talking and telling you stuff. What would you do? You'd freak out, right? Or you'd go, that was the best service ever. I can't wait to go back. Did you see that? That skeleton? I mean, all of a sudden it was alive. You know what the greatest miracle is? He has placed his spirit in you and I, and he has made us spiritually alive. And he's changing us and transforming us into his godliness. So that way we can be partakers in this. What a beautiful thing that he's prophesying. This is what God's going to do in the future. He's going to take that heart that's gotten so hardened. He's going to put a new one in you. He's going to raise you to a new life. And then he's going to breathe his spirit into you. And then you're transformed. You see, if you saw this little guy running around with skin on talking, it would transform you, wouldn't it? But let me just say, the greatest miracle is seeing a life surrendered to God, breathing in the breath of God, allowing him to consume and overwhelm. Back to 2 Peter with me. He says that you and I have been given the full power to live a life and to live a divine life or a holy life or a godly life, so that way we can be partakers in this divine nature. And then we escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So there are evil desires that we have. We have to put them to death. We have to rise up in the Spirit of God and allow him to do this. But it can't be this. God do it all. He's already done it all. It's got to be a response. Look what Peter says next. I mean, this is amazing what God's going to do. It's amazing that he's invited us to partake in this divine nature and given us power by the Holy Spirit. That's all amazing. But you got to do something. He's given you that, but now you got to do something. It says, make every what? It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. What? You mean I got to do something? Yes, you do. Holy Spirit's already done the work. You got to respond to it. You got to desire it. You got to crucify the old self and rise up to the new self. And it says we have to make every effort to add to our faith. Not that you can add to your faith, meaning if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you already have salvation. You can't get salvation. You can't earn your salvation. You can't do enough goods to earn your salvation. You can't pray enough to get your salvation. It's already been given to you through Christ. You accept it, you receive it. But he says you got to grow. You got to become more and more like him as you respond to that Spirit in you. And he says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Do you notice how it says make every effort? That means you got to do everything that you can to put on these things. You have to make every effort, it says, to put on goodness. Can you imagine what it would look like if we were had this heart that was surrendered to the Holy Spirit in us and saying, I am going to be good. And another way to say it is to be virtuous. I'm going to live a moral and holy life. I'm going to be good. I'm not going to do it under my power because I can't, but I've been given a power to get through this life and to live a life that is godly. I'm responding to that. Can you imagine having that life where you're responding to the Holy Spirit, where he says, here's some goodness. And then he says, now make every effort to gain knowledge. Make every effort to take the Word of God and open it up and read it and study it. Make every effort. That means that it's going to be an effort. It's going to be difficult sometimes because maybe you don't like to read. I mean, I can't say that I always like to read. I mean, I like to read about fishing stuff, okay? And I understand that some of you are going, I just don't understand it all. But he's going to make every effort to open it up, read it. But we're in a day now where you don't even have to read it. You got a Bible app, you can push play, and it will read it to you. Make every effort. Imagine if you read for 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day, you can read through the whole Bible in a year. Now, if you use the Bible app, it's going to take you 12 minutes because it takes that much longer. So 12 minutes a day, you're making every effort to get to know God. How do we get to know God? Surrendering to the Holy Spirit and being in His Word. If you're not in His Word, you're not going to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Not going to happen. So he says, make every effort. Everything possible in you. Fight for this. Do this. It's not natural, but make every effort to get to know God more and more. And he says, make every effort to be self-controlled. Oh, wouldn't you love to be self-controlled? Wouldn't you love it that in every situation you respond in a way that is filled with kindness? Wouldn't you like it that when somebody really made you mad, that your anger didn't just shoot out and you spew out words that do more damage? Wouldn't you just like to be more self-controlled when it came to alcohol and drugs in your life? Wouldn't it be great just to be self-controlled and not consume all the food that makes me bloaty and my pants get tight? Wouldn't it be great to be self-controlled? He says, make every effort by the power of the Holy Spirit that has been placed in you to live this life and have a godly life here. I'm going, Holy Spirit, I want this. Holy Spirit, I want to be self-controlled. I don't want to hurt my wife with words anymore. I don't want to hurt people around me. I'm going to make every effort because, you know, the drugs, I just can't do this anymore. I'm going to be self-controlled. Holy Spirit, make me self-controlled. Every effort. It's work. But he says it's worth it. And then he goes on. He says, and to self-control, perseverance. Make every effort to persevere. Oh, there's times I just don't feel like making it in this world. There's times where I'm just going, I want to be done. I just want to give up sometimes. God, when I hear people going through their lives, I just want to be done. And Lance called me, and you know what I said to him? Lance, hold on to Christ. He's good. He's trustworthy. You know what my struggle is? He idolized his wife and believed that his wife was so good that she was going to get him into the kingdom of heaven. And him and I got to have conversations on the ice where he got to the point where he goes, I have to believe it. And it's like, yes. And now he's like, all of a sudden his life got overwhelming and the circumstances are just beyond what he can even comprehend. And I'm going, just hold on. Just persevere. And some of us need to do that. Every effort going, God, this moment right now, I can't make it. But I'm clinging to you. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to overcome because you've overcome the world. I'm holding on. Make every effort to add that. And then he goes on. Make every effort for godliness. Make every effort to be different than you were. Make every effort to be more and more like Christ. Make every effort, every minute, every day, every hour, to be godly. Another way to say godliness is worship. Make every day that we're worshiping God. Again, I've had people say, Kelly, that's easy for you. You're a pastor. We're on equal standing. We have the same faith in Christ. It's no easier for me than it is for you. I get distracted. I let my little phone consume a lot of my time. My iPad, watching fishing videos. I call it fishing porn because I'm addicted to it. And it's like, I'm distracted by all these things around the world in my life. And the Bible is telling us that we got to make every effort to make sure that we're worshiping God every single moment. And let me tell you, since I had back surgery 4 weeks ago, I've been having fun worshiping God as we've been walking through talking about the Holy Spirit. In the shower, I know you don't want that image. I'm singing Majesty. I'm singing, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty enthroned above. I mean, and you know, I got an ice pack on my back and I'm sitting in the chair and I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm going, God, you are so wonderful. So make every effort to make that part of who you are. And then he goes on after godliness. He kind of takes it a little bit closer to home. He says, I want you to have brotherly kindness. Make every effort to have brotherly kindness. What is brotherly kindness? It means if you see me hurting, you don't cheer. You break with me. Brotherly kindness is seeing somebody that's in need and you go meet that need. Brotherly kindness is lifting somebody up when they're down, cheering them on. Brotherly kindness is loving somebody that's never been loved. He says, I want this to be you and make every effort. Then he goes on top of that. Now, I want you to make every effort. Again, it's all by the power of the Spirit that he has placed in us. I want you to make every effort to love. Are you serious? I don't want to love her. You don't know what she's done to me. You don't know what he's done to me. Stop blaming the other person. Stop demanding your will. Stop demanding to be right. Give up your right to be right so you can love. He says, I want you to love. I want you to put every effort into it, which means there's going to be sacrifice. Love. There's people that aren't lovable. Not true. They're all made in the image of God. Every single person's made in the image of God? Well, they're an egg. Yeah? Still love them. I'm still going to show them the brotherly kindness. So then he goes on, for if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus. And I love the message, says it this way. With these qualities active, meaning you're pursuing them, and growing in our lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus Christ. And I love this. God guarantees us that we're going to grow and we're going to experience more and more and more and more of the Holy Spirit when we surrender. And then he goes on, he finishes this section. If anyone does not have them, all those things that we just talked about, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten. Forgotten what? That he has been cleansed from his past sins. You've forgotten that you've been risen to a new life. You were dead. You were in the dry bones and he's reached into you and given you a new heart and placed a spirit in you. You've forgotten that you've been cleansed. So the question is, it's not, did I get a little bit of the Holy Spirit? It's not, do I have the Holy Spirit? It's, are you surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Is everything inside of you desiring to make every effort to take part in the divine nature there that he's given us to live in? So the real question is, do you want it? And only you can decide that. And when you decide that and you respond, then the Holy Spirit can do the greatest miracle. He can make us into the divine nature. He can take somebody like me, which all my friends still in high school go, I can't believe you're a pastor. He can take somebody that was a wretch, somebody that was filled with sin and living in the world and defined by the world, and he can pluck them out of the world where they're dead and dying and give them life and give them hope and give me something that I am so amazed at, that I have a God that loves me and a God that died for me and a God that lives in me. So here's my life. I want to make every effort. I don't know about you. Go out this week and go, God, I want it. I desire it. And by the power that is in, that you have given me, may this be true. Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I'm just in awe of you. I'm so overwhelmed by how you knew what we needed. Yes, we needed a Savior, but we needed your Spirit to take up residence in these dry bones that were dead and bring them to life. God, help us to surrender every moment, every day to the Spirit that you've placed in us. And Lord, help us to be children that you are pleased with because of we are making every effort through the power you've given us to live a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.